Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. This is the reading of God's Word. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of hearing your word. Let us hear your word, and it will cause our faith to grow. Grant us an ear to hear your word. And through your word, let us see what your Son has done and what he has accomplished for us. And through your word, let us have fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that your word will be preached correctly, and all your people who are hearing your word will understand it and believe and obey your word. Bless us and receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Verses 3 to 14, we've been saying that that's Paul's thanksgiving prayer. And that section is divided into two sections. And first section, the verses 3 to 8, it tells us of contents of Paul's thanksgiving. He's thanking our God for the others. And he's thanking our God because of the others. And he's thanking our God for their faith in Christ Jesus and their love for all the saints. The members of the Colossian church live by faith. So we have been looking at what is faith and what it means to live by faith. But in verse 4, Paul also thanks our God for their love for all the saints. The members of the Colossian church loved all the saints. So today, we're going to talk about what does it mean to love. Biblically, what is love? Well, this world, even though they do not know Jesus Christ, they also talk about love. But according to the Bible, the non-believers will never know the true love. Because what is true love? 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Bible says this is love, that God sent his only begotten Son, that he came and died for our sins. This is love. Thus, if one does not know the gospel, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ and what it means, then that person does not know true love, because they do not know the gospel. The sinful world does not know love until they know our Lord Jesus Christ. For God is love. And it is hard, if we just look at outwardly, it is hard to differentiate the true love from the love that this world speaks of. But the act of love must flow out from our understanding of the gospel. The act of love must flow out from our faith in Jesus Christ. Love must be Jesus-centered. It must be for Jesus and because of Jesus. So apart from Jesus, God does not accept all this love that the world speaks of as true love. Because I always give you this example. The two people who are in love, I mean madly in love according to the world, wait until they go to hell and see how they will love one another in hell. It's a temporary and it's not true love. The problem today for a lot of Christians is that we bring the idea that the world has, we bring those ideas into church. And when you read the Bible, you actually understand Bible with that worldly idea. You cannot do that. Because the world and the Bible, there's nothing in common. See, we are not just called to love, but Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. The biblical love is the love that our Lord Jesus Christ has shown to us. That's the only true example of love. It is to die for the others. It is to give ourselves for the others. And we are not just called to love others who we believe deserve our love. We are not called just to love our family members and the others who love us. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 through 48, you have heard that it is said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he caused his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. See, when Jesus loves us, he is not loving someone who deserves his love. So you cannot really argue when God says to love your enemy and you say, oh, no, he doesn't deserve my love. You didn't either when Jesus loved you. And he still loves you. Romans chapter 5 verse 8 says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. He did not die for us when we were doing good, but while we were still sinners, he died for us. When we did not deserve his love, he still loved us. And you are to imitate our God. Romans chapter 5 verse 10, for if while we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled we shall be saved by his life. See, it is while we were enemies that Jesus died to reconcile us. It's not like you and I were born as a Christian, that we always love God. That's why Jesus died for us. No, we're his enemies. And yet he loved his enemies, us, and he would give his life for us. And God says to do the same. You see, this kind of love that the Bible speaks of, frankly speaking, you and I, we are not able. So I'm not telling you, okay, God says this and go out and love as if you have power to do that. All you have to do is just determine. No. You cannot love like this. It's God's grace. Unless he pours out his grace, you and I, we cannot love like this. That's why we use the means of grace as often as possible, because we need that grace in order for us to live according to the Bible. Look at what Paul says about the love the members of Colossians church have in verse 8. It says, verse 8, you go down a little bit, your love in the Spirit, it says. You see, the true love is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 23a, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the fruit. And notice it's singular, fruit of Spirit, and he lists 9 things. But it's one fruit of Spirit. Romans chapter 5, verse 5b, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. He has to work so that we may love. Truly love. Not the love that the world can do. I mean, loving your own family members and loving, you know, people who are good to you. I mean, non-Christians, they will do that too. But the love that God has shown us. See, this verse also tells us that if the Holy Spirit lives in us, if we are truly saved, if we know the gospel, then we will love one another because Holy Spirit is in us. And he is the one who causes us to love. And loving God and loving our neighbor is the fulfillment of all the laws of God. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 to 40, and he said to him, you shall love your Lord, your God, with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. You have 10 commandments, and you have all these different laws in the Old Testament. But if you sum up all of those laws, and it comes as two laws. One, love your God, and love, second, love your neighbor. Love your brothers and sisters. To love our God is to obey his commandments. And his commandment is, John chapter 13, verse 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. In this, all of God's law is summarized. When you love, you fulfill the law. First John chapter 3, verse 23, this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. See, if we love one another, then we fulfill the law. You want to fulfill the law, you want to obey every law in the Bible, you love. Romans chapter 13, verse 8 and 10, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Yes, you might read all kinds of commandments in the Bible, but every commandment is summed up in this. You love your brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. You actually demonstrate that you love God by loving your brothers and sisters in Christ. Galatians chapter 5, verse 14, the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Colossians chapter 3, verse 14, beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. We must love one another. You have become God's people who will love one another perfectly forever and ever in heaven. And that life has already begun. This is your already fulfilled reality, your eternal reality. Brothers and sisters, you must understand. And when I understood this, you know, a few years back, everything changed. You must understand that you and I, we do not choose whom to love and whom to hate. See, our Lord Jesus Christ has already chosen for me who I must love. To love somebody whom that I would love is not up to me. It really doesn't matter I don't like you. I must love because Jesus already determined that I love you because we are in Christ together. Don't think you are the center of the universe, that everything just revolves around you. No. We do not even choose whom we love. Jesus has done that for us. If you are in Christ, I must love, and I will love forever. It's about obeying his will. It's about obedience to whatever pleases him. That's what life, our life, Christian life is all about. You don't go around and say, okay, that person I will love, but the other, that one, no. Then you really don't understand what Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. You don't understand the gospel. And when you are pleased to obey his will, it's not that hard. You ask God to help you love. And when I say love, we're not talking about the way that world loves one another. But it's truly loving your brothers and sisters and your desire for them is that they would become more like Christ. And you do everything that you could to help that person to be more like Christ. If material things will help them, then you do that. Spiritual things, then you do that. Whatever it takes. But the focus is always Jesus Christ. He chosen us, and He put all of us into one church. Why? What does He want us to do as He put all of us in this one church? He wants us to love one another. We must care for one another. We must carry one another in our hearts. We must pray for one another. That what happens to one another matter to us. We are interested. See, Galatians chapter 6 verse 10 says, so then while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people and especially to those who are in the household of faith. And Bible teaches that for one who has received God's love, to love one another in Christ is so natural. 1 John chapter 4, verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, we know love by this, that He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. We must witness that we love God by loving our neighbors. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 10, for God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward His name in having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. He will not forget when you love. Actually, for Christians, for you and I, not to love one another is nonsense. It's truly nonsense. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 and 21, if somebody says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he does not see, who has not seen. It's just pure lie. Because if you cannot love your brother in Christ who you could see, then God doesn't accept when you say to God, I love you. And this commandment we have from Him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. We must witness that we are the children of God by loving our brothers and sisters. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and anyone who loves is born of God and knows God, and the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. These verses I'm reading to you is not to disprove that you are Christian. But I want you to understand that as a Christian, not loving one another is nonsense. First John chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, we know that we have passed out of death into life. How do we know? Because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. John chapter 13, verse 35, by this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. How do they know that we are truly Christians? Well, it says that by you and I loving one another. And when we say love, biblical love, not worldly love. Worldly love is selfish. All is self-centered. Even the most, see, it's all about I love that person. It's about me. Christian love, it's not about you. Even if you don't like that person, you love. Because of Christ. This is Christian love. The true love is not just with our lips. 1 John chapter 3, verse 17 through 19, but whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with words or with tongue, but in deed and truth. We will know by this that we are of the truth and will assure our hearts before him. By love. By loving our brothers and sisters. And God says, without love, we are truly nothing. And I don't care about all your worldly accomplishments and what you do and how much you have done. You're nothing without love. And it's not my judgment, it's what God says. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 through 3. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all the mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possession to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Without love, we're nothing, and whatever that you do will be nothing. Because God is love. And the gospel is love. Paul continues, love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, it does not seek its own, it is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Again, you and I, we are not capable of loving like this unless God pours out His grace. And remember, this is the very life of our Lord Jesus Christ. His life is summed up in love. I'm not saying that you should sell all you have and share and you just meet every day. No. But that you would truly love your brothers and sisters who are next to you. And what happens to them matters to you. That you carry them in your heart. That you will pray for them. So that through and by your prayers, as God answers your prayer, that person will become more like Christ. Person will live that life that will bring glory and honor to God. That they will sin less. Please, brothers and sisters, love me. Because I promise to love you. Let's truly pray for one another. Praying. Don't pray for me that I will live healthy and wealthy. That's not my concern. Pray for me that I will be like Christ more and more. That I will fight with my sin and show that victory that Christ has accomplished. That I could show that victory more and more in my life. That I could preach and share the gospel with more boldness and more confidence and with more understanding. Let's really love one another. And you know, because we're not God, we don't have this all these things, omniscience, and we don't know all things, so it helps that you let me know that you're doing that. That you're letting me know that you're praying for me. Let's do this. Because of Christ. See, my desire is not that so many people come here and just fill this place so that we have to move to a bigger place. No, even if no one else comes, let us, why here? These people that God has put together as one church, let us truly love and witness the reality of heaven. Let us put some effort into this. That we will not live selfish life. The only thing we care is what happens to me and my earthly family. But that we love. I know life is getting... It's just... We're so busy. And I know that. But just spare a couple minutes a day to think about and pray for our brothers and sisters. And let them know that you're praying. See, the reason why I said that is that because I said it, now you guys can do this. Otherwise, you text them, you know, I'm praying for you, and they go, what is this? But see, now you could use me as an excuse. Oh, you know, pastor said this, you know, that's what it is. One day, just like Paul, as I pray for you, one day I will see you next to Jesus Christ. And I will see you as a perfect person, righteous and holy, Son of God. And not only just, you know, spiritually you're glorious, but even your body will be glorious. You will standing next to Jesus Christ. And I'll be looking at that, and I will thank God that He answered my prayer for you. Not that because I pray for you that that happens, but that my prayer was part of His work making you just like Christ. That day, more I pray for you, the more joy I will have. And that's what Paul says in his letters. That day, he will be rejoicing because his prayers are answered. This is the life of Christ. He loved us. And he showed us what that love looks like. He gave his life. You know, right now you might feel it's overwhelming, you know, and there's no way you could say to yourself, no way I'm going to give my life. But when God pours out His grace, you will. And when I see you in heaven, there's no death in heaven, but I could guarantee you that you will be willing to give your life for me up there, if that's possible. And we must believe that that life has already begun, that that life is your present reality in Jesus Christ. Let's look up, lose your focus on yourself for a few minutes and look at your brothers and sisters and care for them. Care for their spiritual life. Love is patient. So when you love, you patiently endure. Yes, even if you pray for them, you know, they're not going to change overnight. Or not even in like a few years. But they will change. It is guaranteed that they will change. One day, as we see Him face to face, we'll all change. We will be perfect. So do not lose hope. Do not be discouraged. Because your prayer, as you pray for their spiritual well-being, your prayer will be answered. It is already answered. So don't be discouraged. Don't get tired of praying. Continue to pray. Love is patient. And love is kind. And it's not jealous. Love does not brag, it's not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, it does not seek its own, it's not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered. If some brother or sister do some wrong to you, love doesn't keep that in your heart. You move on. And you move on because of Christ. Because that person will repent of that sin. It is guaranteed. He or she will repent. Because Holy Spirit works in them. Don't remember the wrongdoings of your brothers and sisters to you. does not rejoice in unrighteousness, so you don't share their sin. It's not about loving, it's not about you just try to be good friends, like according to the world, and just even sin together. No. If you truly love, you will prevent her or him to sin. But rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. This is how our Lord Jesus Christ lived. We are called to live that life, to participate in the life of love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even the faith that we saw last time must, according to Galatians 5:6, faith working through love. It's not just that you believe, but you do that through love. God is love, and we must love one another. Jesus Christ has already chosen the people that we must love. Look around, you see them. He has gathered us in this church so that we may witness this reality that the Bible is speaking of. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, let us truly, truly love one another. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have chosen all of us so that we may love one another. We thank you that it is you who chooses whom we love. All our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and especially those brothers and sisters you have gathered into one church, let us witness true love. Let us witness that we have received that true love from you, our God. And with that love that we have received, let us love the others. Those who are in Christ, whom you have died, gave yourself for them. Let us do the same. That our lives themselves will be the gospel. We thank you. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.